Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Off to a slow start, but let's get in gear this Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. We started off slow. Are we stuck in neutral or first gear, or are we actually in like fourth or fifth gear going about 7 miles an hour? I don't know, but we'll kind of pick it up this hour. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Let me see if I can sort of put this in context. And I don't want to jump around too much, but it all kind of represents the same story to me. I was talking about Jeffrey Epstein, particularly in the first hour, and what he represents, this sort of archetypal figure, in my opinion. And I see, in my opinion, a very clear similarity and connection from Epstein to GHW B, for example. Not because GHW B was hanging out with Epstein like, you know, Donald Trump and Alan Dershowitz and Woody Allen and on, you know, the A-list celebrities and politicians, the cult of personality, but because of this club that just hangs out. And it's, you know, what do you call it? I mean, it is, there is a death cult element. There is, you know, the glitzy, opulent, unaccountable, do anything you want with absolute impunity kind of nonsense. It's that sort of clique. So, jumping over to GHWB and the, I guess that side of the discussion, Michael Ruppert's Crossing the Rubicon, The Decline of the American Empire at the End of the Age of Oil. Chapter 3 is titled, The CIA is Wall Street and Drug Money is King. Hard to, you know, the CIA is Wall Street. They're inseparable, and, you know, drugs and oil, CIA equals Wall Street equals drugs equals oil. So, I mean, that's, you know, if that makes sense. And there's all kinds of other profligacy that's involved. You know, there's a reason that Burning Man and the military are cozy bedfellows, for example. So, you know, chapter 3 of Crossing the Rubicon, The CIA is Wall Street and Drug Money is King. Michael Ruppert says, The CIA is Wall Street. The CIA is Wall Street. Wall Street is the CIA. This is perhaps one of the easiest landmarks to establish on our map. We do it by looking at key players in the CIA's history and their relationship to America's financial engine. Okay. And that's interesting. And the first figure he looks at, Clark Clifford. National Security Act of 1947 was written by Clark Clifford, a Democratic Party powerhouse, former Secretary of Defense, and one-time advisor to President Harry Truman. In the 1980s, as chairman of First American Bank Shares, Clifford was instrumental in getting the corrupt CIA drug bank, BCCI, founded by a Pakistani national, parenthetically, a license to operate on American shores. His profession, Wall Street lawyer and banker. BCCI and its particular web of characters have been a virtual cut-and-paste overlay linking up Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and terrorist financing. It was Clark Clifford who was retained by former CIA Director Richard Helms when the latter was indicted and prosecuted for lying to Congress in 1976. Anyway, well, let me just continue for a second because this sort of gets, you know, close to where we're headed. Clifford and his banking partner Robert Altman were eventually indicted on criminal charges for their role in illegally helping BCCI purchase an American bank, First American Bank Shares. At the time, BCCI had been connected to both drug money laundering and financial support for Afghan rebels, supported by the CIA through its director, Bill Casey. We will know our disinformation campaign is complete when John Foster and Alan Dulles, these two brothers, designed, quote-unquote, the CIA for Clifford. Both were active in intelligence operations during World War II. Alan Dulles had been America's top Office of Strategic Services, OSS, spy in Switzerland, where he met frequently with Nazi leaders and looked after U.S. investments in Germany. You know, again, when is enough evidence enough evidence? You know, we import 1,600 scientists in Operation Paperclip, and what were we doing, and why so many? CIA specifically. And, you know, how did they know all of this? Well, again, here it is. He has also held an executive position with Standard Oil. John Foster went on to become Secretary of State under Dwight Eisenhower, and Allen served as CIA director under Ike, only to be fired by JFK after the abortive 1961 U.S.-led covert invasion of Cuba, known as the Bay of Pigs. So Northwoods, the Cuba Project, anyone? Northwoods was one of dozens of schemes cooked up, scenarios cooked up by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Thanks, National Security Act of 1947. So, you know, you start to see this. Okay, so Dulles was fired by JFK after the abortive 1961 U.S.-led covert invasion of Cuba, known as the Bay of Pigs. Again, you know, Operation Northwoods, the Cuba Project. Their professions, partners in the most powerful to this day Wall Street law firm of Sullivan and Cromwell. And that's an interesting study there too. And then you skip forward. After the assassination of JFK in 1963, Alan Dulles, who again had been fired by JFK, became the staff director and lead investigator of the Warren Commission, which asserted that Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone assassin who had fired a bullet that had caused JFK's throat wound, hung suspended in midair for several seconds, changed directions twice, then wounded Texas Governor John Connally in the chest, wrist, and thigh, only to fall out of his body in near pristine condition on a stretcher at Parkland Hospital in Dallas about 30 minutes later. When asked about how he could have offered the Warren Report, full of inconsistencies, to the American people with a straight face, Dulles is reported to have said, quote, "The American people don't read," which might as well be what GHWB said based on Smoking Memo Number 1 and Smoking Memo Number 2 that clearly put the one and only GHWB in the area. He was at least in Tyler, Texas, 100 miles away, admittedly. Allegedly called the field the FBI himself, and threw one of his employees under the bus. Anyway, Alan Dulles, staff director and lead investigator for the Warren Commission, to investigate the assassination of JFK, the man who fired him not long before he was assassinated. So from there, you know, let me just take a parenthetical aside and go back to the Post yesterday. When I saw that the JFK library was essentially honoring GHWB, I mean, that to me is, it sticks in my craw. So I posted something on Facebook, the Road Warrior Radio page. Have the curators at the JFK library not seen or heard of Dark Legacy? What a painful irony. I am among those who believe that GHWB, B, it should be B, it's D, I should fix that. Bush 41 was there at Dealey Plaza that fateful day. This cabal is patient. If nothing else, I'll give them that. And that really is the sort of Fabian concept, the operative concept. They are patient, to be sure. And so then, you know, I include Woodrow Wilson's infamous remark in Chapter 1, The Old Order Changeth of the New Freedom, A Call for the Emancipation of the Generous Energies of a People. How many of these folks were illuminized unbeknownst to themselves? You know, we hear the remark, Woodrow Wilson lamented after the fact, I'm a most unhappy man. Aaron Russo included it in Freedom to Fascism, for example, America Freedom to Fascism. But he was a sycophant, a lapdog to technocrats in academia, which is why he was plucked. Was he just a useful idiot? You know, it becomes hard to argue at some point when someone expresses an aptitude, subject matter aptitude. But, you know, then again, you think of Chamath Palihapitiya's remarks at a Stanford Business School talk and similar remarks that have been made over the course of time. You people are probably the most susceptible to this kind of thing. You know, academics who think you're smart and actually you have huge blind spots and don't realize it. Anyway, especially when these street smart, these shrewd types show up who are cunning and shrewd to a fault. So speaking of that, you know, again, the cabal is patient. If nothing else, I'll give him that. So Woodrow Wilson's quote, since I entered politics, yes, President Woodrow Wilson really did write these words. Since I entered politics, they're attributed to him and William Bayard Hale, co-author. Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of somebody, are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. You know, and then there's the similar remark by Disraeli, for example, in Coningsby. The world is governed by very different personages. So then I included JFK's, you know, the excerpt from his address before the American Newspaper Publishers Association. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. You know, and skipping forward, for we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means. And the question has arisen, did he say covet? Maybe he did. Instead of republic, which was in his type notes, you know, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open republic is what was in his notes. But he said society. So who knows? Maybe covert is what was in his notes, his typed notes, but maybe he did say or mean covet, because it sounds like it. Anyway, so he said, you know, monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources. And so is the JFK Library. You know, you think of Cecil Rhodes' Last Will and Testament and just this, it's like the water that coagulates and it's just continually drawing more and more, it just like subsuming everything, all the wealth, all the power unto itself. And you can't help but be reminded of what's been referred to as Weishaupt's 6 points. Maybe I'll come back to that in a minute. So they're patient, if nothing else. So back to the CIA. So you have Dulles, you know, insider CIA guy, old school bad guy. Then you have, again, back to the Bush family, you know, generational skull and bonesmen, old school bad guys. Avril Harriman, skull and bones. McGeorge Bundy, skull and bones. So, speaking of McGeorge Bundy, How did Michael Rupert put it? Laying the Foundation, Chapter 6. Laying the Foundation, destroy Russia, prepare the battlefield. So yeah, Skull and Bones. It's interesting to note that the Ford Foundation is actively involved in the funding of progressive, quote unquote. By the way, McGeorge Bundy was the Ford Foundation president from 66 to 79. You start looking at these guys. Have you looked at the, fraternal orders and organizations that, go look at Summary of Career for Averill Harriman and look at some of the groups that he was affiliated with, Club of Rome, CFR, Knights of Pythias, Skull and Bones, Psi Upsilon, Jupiter Island Club, an insider's insider, the one of the point guys of the foreign policy group known as the Wise Men. You start seeing this stuff, and again, what are the guys at IG Farben say? Council of the Gods. No wonder they think they can rob the world blind and rape and pillage as they go. They really are Ivy League pirates. It's crazy. And so Bush, GHWB, again, this is a time frame to put some of this stuff in context. You think of Vegas, for example, and the old world familial, turf wars and things. That was low-level stuff. Then that all got corporatized. And I mean, there were international syndicates that, obviously predate the 20th century. Go back long before that. You could say the East India Company. What was that, 1620? At least. And coming forward, there are pivotal moments, 1694, the chartering of the First Central Bank of England. And, coming forward into, and speaking of that, I think it was Michael Rupert who mentioned that John Stuart Mill allegedly authored On Liberty in defense of the East India Company's drug trafficking. By the way, the East India Company today is really known as HSBC predominantly, but so these crime syndicates they predate the 20th century and obviously the creation of the intelligence community. But then you have these guys, like McGeorge Bundy, the same sorts of turf wars that were happening in organized crime were happening in government. There's the rumor of, the Mexican standoff, and I mentioned that yesterday, during Iran-Contra in particular, during the GHWB years. And so that sort of familial turf war stuff went mainstream and corporate. And now it's just been normalized. It has a corporate face on it and, an HR department and a legal team. And so it must be okay. Must be perfectly fine. We've institutionalized child trafficking and drug running, so it's a kinder, gentler world. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't.
Welcome back.
Have control. I want the perfect body.
I feel like it would be helpful to take a step back. You know, so Alan Dulles, CIA, obviously, you know, Sullivan and Cromwell, Wall Street is the CIA, CIA is Wall Street. In 1921, while at the U.S. Embassy in Istanbul, he helped expose the Protocols of the Elders of Zion as a forgery. Did you know that? It was Alan Dulles in 1921. A lot of people don't know that. That's even on Wikipedia, though. So that's interesting, huh? So, you know, Wikipedia tells us, as head of the CIA during the early Cold War, he oversaw the 1954 Guatemalan coup, Operation Ajax, the Bay of Pigs invasion. Well, that's interesting. So covert regime change actions. He was masterful at it. Following the assassination of JFK, Dulles was one of the members of the Warren Commission. That's a sort of, misleading and duplicitous. Dulles was uncle to Avery Dulles, a Jesuit priest and cardinal of the Catholic Church. Now, that's, you know, just a parenthetical aside. Anyway, I think it would be helpful to step back, speaking of covert regime change actions, and look at Weishaupt, or the you know, alleged 6 points of Illuminism, Illuminati's points. You look at Robeson, proofs of a conspiracy. Nesta Webster mentioned them, and other books. And you start looking at this stuff and what has been happening. We'll come back to this, but I'll just mention them, and then we'll go to the phones. But the simple formula of the simple formula reduced to 6 points. Number one, abolition of monarchy and all ordered government. Two, abolition of private property. Three, abolition of inheritance. Four, abolition of patriotism. And, one of the ways that you attack these things is sometimes it's dialectical conflict. Sometimes you give people too much of a good thing, so to speak. And, we hear about toxic patriotism and jingoism and stuff like that anyway. Or, capitalism for that matter, which isn't. Five, abolition of the family, i.e. of marriage and all morality, and the institution of the communal education of children. The state must raise children. As in Plato's Republic, as Bertrand Russell mentioned in The Impact of Science on Society, referring to Fida and others who laid it down that, education should aim at destroying free will in children. And finally, six, abolition of all religion. And so when you see this stuff and you see that, the object was to incite violence and unrest and to foment chaos everywhere, create disorder and unrest. So you see these folks, like Alan Dulles, instrumental in doing that. The CIA has been masterful at advancing these 6 points of the Illuminati, if it's done nothing else, over the last several decades. Covert regime change actions. So anyway, CIA is Wall Street, Wall Street is CIA, and from there we will skip back over to Skull and Bones, McGeorge Bundy, Averill Harriman, obviously GHWB and Prescott Bush. We'll talk more about that, but first to the phones. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I want to thank you for covering this Epstein thing. I think this is really important. I think we might have some success this time if instead of splitting off into Democrat and Republican, and a bipartisan push, it's like we all have to get behind a bus, not just half of us, and push this issue into the public consciousness. Because I think we could succeed this time because there's people from both parties involved in this. Because we generally tend to, if it's from their own party, they kind of let it slide down the memory hole. Okay? And so...
Yeah. Well, again, I think that sort of harkens to the sort of Stockholm syndrome that I've talked about. And so we should talk about that on the other side of the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, This one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Life full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Before and in case... I forget to mention it again. I will try to circle back around to this. But speaking of Alan Dulles, if you haven't already, check out James Corbett's episode 307, published 8/30/2015. Meet Alan Dulles, fascist spymaster, diplomat, spy, Wall Street lawyer, philanderer, government overthrow specialist, Nazi collaborator, MKUltra overlord, presidential assassin. Meet Alan Dulles, fascist spymaster. If you haven't seen that, it's worth a watch. It's about an hour long, but in James Corbett's characteristic fashion, a brilliant treatise and very comprehensive. Anyway, we're on the phones. Renee, you know, when people get sucked into that partisanship or partisan bickering, It reminds me of the Stockholm syndrome that is so, I think, rampant and pervasive, but people don't realize. Again, you know, if you vote for a person that invariably ends up attacking their constituency, everyone wants to save face. And so it gets back to that sort of psychological disorder. When you get two people on either side of a partisan discussion who are essentially crazy people, one person has Stockholm syndrome invoked or induced by one candidate or party, the other by another candidate or party, and they're arguing, the one person can clearly see the other person's crazy, so to speak, their partisan Stockholm syndrome, and vice versa. And so they're looking at each other like, you know, the other one's crazy. The problem is they don't realize they both are crazy. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. And
doesn't,
you know,
that pretty much sum it up?
Yeah. And it is so much about saving face and preserving their false self-image of themselves, of being
it's kinda like,
good person and on the good side of the fight and being the one in the white hat and this, the other guy in the black hat. And, that is so much of it.
A good example of this is, you know, speaking of Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, the folks that hang around him don't necessarily hold to a political view or espouse a particular political view, if you know what I mean. In other words, corruption and psychopathy really supersede political parties and affiliation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's all about being, like you say, it's the whole Democrat-Republican thing is a big con job, okay? It's really, like you say, they're Ivy League pirates. They're pirates, thieves, murderers, and rapists. And if you're well-connected, you can get away with it. One thing that really chaps my behind as I watch this funeral pageant on the TV, I'm thinking, yeah, look how much you can get. You don't end up in the FBI statistics, okay, that can be waved in people's face and stuff. If you're rich and powerful like that, you know, I think of a lot of these people, I think 96% of people do a plea deal because they can't afford the attorneys. They often plea to stuff they're not guilty of because they don't have the money to fight it. And some of these poor people end up dying in prison, buried in some unmarked grave in some prison potter's field, and they deserve this more than this man does, because I can guarantee you there's probably no person in prison right now guilty as responsible for as much stealing and murdering as the person that we're watching this pageant go on in TV, even probably JFK, a former president of the United States. So the thing is,
yeah,
I'm hacked. And the thing is, right now, we have no chance of putting, like I said, we have to wait, but it's almost over. They got in the funeral now. The thing is, right now, we can't, but we need to push this Epstein. As soon as they finish with all this, everybody needs to push. I know I'm emailed, I got to look into those Corbett ones because he does excellent work. I love his stuff. Mm-hmm. He does perfect stuff, okay? And the thing is, but there's another one. TYT did a good one, The Young Turks, called High Profile Pedophile Benefits from Corrupt Connections. We have to push this. In many ways, this is our chance, I think. If we can push this into the public consciousness, Joe Scarborough, I know, is pushing for investigations. If we can push it in, we can maybe wedge a crack to this Just Us system and crack it in the public consciousness, because it's just, it's ruined so many people's lives, and so many bad people have gotten away with so much because it's a farce.
Yeah. And
you know?
I think it's interesting what ends up happening. The interview that James Corbett did with Derek Brose that was published today on Corbett Report Extras, James does the usual, you know, CYA stuff with Derek Brose. You're not suicidal. You're healthy, and you have this information backed up in places. I think one of the problems is you find somebody, you know, Derek Brose, by his own admission, has looked into this information further than anyone. And again, I think one of the key subjects here is not just...
How do you spell that last name? How do you spell that last name? Derek what?
Derek is with two R's, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, and Brose is B-R-O-Z-E. So if you go to,
okay.
If folks go to Corporate Report,
definitely want to look into that. Thank you.
Yeah, folks go to Corporate Report Extras. You bet. So Corporate Report Extras today, December 5th, 2018, James published Derek Brose on Jeffrey Epstein and the Finder. So that's on YouTube, but also Derek Brose website, theconsciousresistance.com. And all of his research is there. But one of the big problems is that, you know, what do you call it? You know, do you call it – I mean, most recently I would call it like the Michael Hastings effect, the Daphne Caruana Galizia effect, the, you know, would you call it the Bill Cooper, the Mae Brussels, the, you know, whatever sort of effect where a person does – a volume of research beyond, you know, head and shoulders above the rest, basically. And then if that something happens to that person, then what happens to the research? Can people pick up where that person is left off? So it's not just the research. I think that, and this is something that I've lamented for years, I'm sure others have as well, but how is it that people can come in and get knowledged up quickly without feeling overwhelmed and continue on? So like you're saying, I mean, this where this really becomes a rubber meets road issue is I think you're right. This is one of those things that crosses party affiliation lines
and it's with raping of children. Who can go be against,
right,
who can be for
right.
that?
Right, exactly. And obviously, if you are, we know who you are. We know.
Yeah.
So the where this becomes rubber meets road is where you start to have a collection of documentation, for example, you know, legal documentation, for example, the stuff that Derek Brose has poured over. So can you pass that to other jurisdictions, for example? Is there a collection of resources and documentation that have been helpful in one jurisdiction in obtaining prosecutions, for example, to shut some of this stuff down? And, you know, again, speaking of Daphne Caruana Galizia and the Panama Papers, you know, I've mentioned it before. I did just one broadcast so far. Neo4j is the graph database technology used to basically shine a bright light on all of the connections and things. Same thing should apply here. And so where are the tools that are being applied to make sure that, you know, someone like Derek Brose in this case is not sort of self-isolating by doing the research? And you know, you almost think of like an open source project. I know that Edwin Black does that on most of his books, where he has a number of folks researching stuff. And so if you could put this out in a way, and we have the internet, there's ubiquity, there are ways to create redundancy and allow people to pick up where others have left off in, you know, ways that we haven't been able to do before, if that makes sense. I mean, hopefully that makes sense to folks. And that's one of the things that is a constant source of frustration. So if something happens in this case for whatever reason, how does anyone come up to speed where Derek Brose is? Everyone should. I agree. I think you're right. This is one of those issues that who can't get on board with stopping
pedophiles.
Child trafficking
yeah.
pedophilia. Yeah.
And child trafficking.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, the thing. There's one thing I want to say that gives me a little bit of hope. I think I have these numbers. I'm sure if they're not exactly right, they're very close. I think it was 1952. 73% of the people expected the government to do the right thing. Pew Research recently did it. It's down to 17. from 73 to 76. See, people are much more skeptical now of the government. And I think this is what might, like I say, if we push hard on this, because like you said, unless you're a pedophile, you can't be for this. It's bipartisan. Yeah. And with people as much more skeptical of government doing the right thing, you know, maybe, you know, I want to believe that maybe this could finally be the thing that we can drive a wedge through to make this thing crack open. You know, but everybody's got to push. I know I was out there sending in everybody I could think of the email of the TYT one on this, and I'm going to look into that Corbett report and that Derek Bros, too, because we have to push this, make sure this stays into this is the thing that just explodes the TV set after this funeral is over. Everybody needs to do their part and push. Because I really think, kind of like if you've ever watched a cat play with a mouse, and he's sick, okay? And, you know, he'll have the little mouse by his tail, and the little mouse, you can see he's given up. He kind of knows what his fate is. And then the cat will do this. He'll torture that mouse. And then he'll take his paw off the tail. And then all of a sudden, you can see the little mouse, and he's going, he's realizing the paw's not on his tail anymore. And you can see, like, the hope coming in his eyes, okay? And he starts to run off, and then the cat takes his paw, and he sticks it back on his tail. Okay, so the thing is, I kind of guess I'm like that little mouse right now, where I feel like this, I kind of have a little hope in my eyes that this could be our chance, that we could maybe get somewhere with this issue, you know, which is the thing, if you read some of this military strategy and stuff, see, that's what they don't want to happen, okay? If they don't outright kill you, they want to break your spirit so bad
so
that
if,
you never
if
try
seems
again.
To be, absolutely, I agree. And that's it's all part of the games that they play. If what seems to be true is true, the prima facie evidence, if no other, is, you know, like I said, the FBI memo number 1 and 2, exhibit A and B, where George Bush, a George Bush, an oil guy and CIA guy, call the FBI, you know, and this guy is, you know, Houston oil man. That's interesting. Who else? CIA guy. Who else? But, you know, if that guy can be in Dealey Plaza and still maintain plausible deniability after implicating himself repeatedly and can glibly snicker at Gerald Ford's funeral, for example, is during his eulogy. I don't know if folks have seen that where, you know, he's – we should play that, actually, maybe. You know, he's talking, you know, after a deluded gunman. You know, he's talking at Gerald Ford's funeral and makes that remark, a deluded gunman assassinated Kennedy, which Kennedy, by the way. But, you know, he snickers. What is funny at Gerald Ford's funeral and about JFK's assassination or whichever Kennedy? If that can happen, you know, you think about the hubris and the level of deception and what happens here, getting back to your point, and how this subject just keeps falling from public consciousness over and over. If it's not pressed in the media, then where does it go? And so one of the points that Derek Bros made in the interview with James Corbett that was published today on Corbett Report Extras was that U.S. Customs Service agent Raymond Martinez was the guy who walked through. He's kind of the main guy. And apparently Derek Bros tried to interview him, but that hasn't worked out, at least to this point. But every effort, speaking of what you were just saying, every effort has been made to marginalize Raymond Martinez's testimony. But according to Derek Bros, Martinez is the one guy in everything who said, you know, he was the guy who did the walkthrough when they were investigating some of this stuff, and you know, they he was the one guy who said, you know, this is what we saw, this is what we found. We found an international trafficking network, basically, which is the Finders. And when you start thinking about that, folks, you think about sure, Jeffrey Epstein, but, you know, you're talking about flying foreign, you know, dignitaries and diplomats and people, you know, the power elite back and forth, you know, to islands and doing things. I mean, think about the kind of infrastructure. When you hear Derek Brose talk about the Finders Network and how it's an international intelligence network with maps and all kinds of technology, it's staggering implications. Be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know.
Final segment of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Let me see if I can just back up and again try to put this in context. You know, there are – what have we seen in recent months, for example? There, you know, we keep hearing about the brave men and women at the field level basically. But then we hear about rogue, you know, elements at high levels. Or are they rogue? I suppose, in the context of accountability to the public and the public interest. But, you know, again, going back, you look at the Harrimans. I mean, Harriman, Bush family, a bunch of Yale guys, just a brief aside. E. Roland, Bunny Harriman, Averill Harriman's brother. From the Wikipedia entry, Harriman joined W.A. Harriman Company, investment bankers in New York City. 1923 became vice president. 1927, the two brothers formed the banking firm Harriman Brothers and Company. In 1931, the firm was merged with Brown Brothers and Company, again, dating back to, you know, before Jefferson and Adams' passing, with Roland as vice president. Headquartered on Wall Street, Brown Brothers Harriman started with 9 partners. This really is the roots of the CIA, by the way, just to kind of skip forward, spoiler alert. Headquartered on Wall Street, Brown Brothers Harriman started with 9 partners, about 200 employees, performing specialized banking services for customers, mainly medium-sized corporations. It was not a member of the Federal Reserve System or the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC. How do you do that? Riddle me that, Batman. Find someone who can answer the question, how do you do that? And just last thing, in 1968, Harriman and 3 other senior partners at Brown Brothers, Robert A. Lovett, Secretary of Defense under President Truman, and Prescott Bush, former senator from Connecticut, and Knight Woolley, all Yale men, moved upstairs, literally and figuratively, to make way for younger partners, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, there are these, you know, insider networks that C. Wright Mills referred to as the power elite. And getting back to Derek Brose, the subject of Jeffrey Epstein as an archetypal, emblematic figure, and the Finders Network. We'll play that in the next hour. We'll play a little excerpt from James Corbett's interview with Derek Brose that Corbett published today. But, you know, the point here is, so you have people trying to investigate, and then suddenly you bump into obstacles. And then from there, you know, the investigations go away. Look what happened with Seth Rich, for example. You know, why the investigation is dead, but we don't know anything? Should be an ongoing investigation until we find out what the heck happened. So Derek Brose mentions Raymond Martinez, who's pushing the issue. He's trying, talking to folks in Congress and other places, trying to get someone to pursue this, and Metro drops the issue, Customs drops the issue, and then before you know it, it looks like there's a CIA cover-up and an FBI cover-up and a Customs cover-up. And you start seeing this, and you see who's involved, and it's not surprising when suddenly the Franklin cover-up is covered up or the conspiracy of silence is silenced. And so to Renee's point, you know, again, I guess Andrew Jackson, you know, eternal vigilance is definitely in order and a laser-like focus, because every effort will be made once again to make this story go away because of who's involved, quite simply, and the kind of power and the circles of power that the story represents, particularly with the Finders Network. We're going to have to play that. It's probably, I think, a 5-minute excerpt or something from the 36-minute interview. But well worth it, because again, sure, Epstein, you know, billionaire guy, but you know, you're talking about who would just, you know, I don't know, maybe you'd spend millions of dollars a year, millions and millions of dollars, because you like your friends, or maybe there's more to the story, you know what I mean? Third hour coming up, stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.